Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Our time moves to just about 28 minutes after 7. And as I've been saying to you all, we do have a special interview at this point in time, and joining us we have two gentlemen who we welcome to our program for the very first time. In days gone by, we've had several discussions with representatives of the fire services, and Jude Rogers has been with us on numerous occasions. Joining us this morning, we have Jason Shields, a safety officer. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Nice to have you with us. And also joining us this morning is Chief Fire Officer, and that is Arnold Bristow. Mr. Bristow, good morning to you. Nice to have you with us here this morning.
Good morning.
Our discussion this morning, gentlemen, comes at a time when the national discussion is all over the place. And people are asking all kinds of questions. They're looking for answers on so many different things. But it's a discussion that has been going on for a very long period of time. It's not a discussion that cropped up overnight. It has intensified as a result of what took place on Sunday and two people losing their lives. And since then, a lot of information has been put into the public domain. Yesterday, there was a big meeting between fire officials, the association, the Ministry of National Security. Mr. Bristow, you yourself was a part of those discussions. And let's begin our discussion this morning here. There's the perception put forward by the Fire Officers Association that not much is going to be achieved. The headline in the Guardian newspaper says firefighters' body upset after meeting with the permanent secretary, and they say no concrete action on burning safety issues is on the horizon. As the chief fire officer, is that a fair assessment of the talks yesterday, or are you of a different view?
Let me begin by saying good morning to the listening public, Trinidad and Tobago, and to also extend my condolences to the family of the two persons who would have lost their lives. To respond to that statement, I would say that that was a statement that was disingenuous in its nature, because the discussions with the ministry officials and with the officials on both sides of the table would have highlighted a number of issues that would have been on the forefront of discussions for several years. And I can tell you, while it is the perception of the officers, some of the officers of the association, that nothing is being done, nothing could be further from the truth as far as that is concerned, because quite a number of the issues that they were raising have since moved to an advanced state in terms of being able to acquire some of the things that are needed for the operation of the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service. I can say that because things like breathing apparatus sets, which were a hot burning issue, that has been approved, and that has gone for the process to be executed by the Central Tenders Board. Additionally, we would have commenced, when I assumed office, a nationwide risk assessment, which is still ongoing. And coming out of that, it should identify the gaps between what is required and where we are at this point in time in terms of our capabilities to deliver the service that is required to the public.
What are,
and it's only when it's completed, we can then start taking steps to narrow the gaps. But I'll say this, also mentioned in that meeting, that the procurement of a number of items, including the appliances for Point 410 station and Miaro station. And all these items were highlighted, and these things are being addressed as we speak at the by the tenders board. Now, bear in mind this. You can't walk in off the street and purchase a fire appliance. It takes between 12 and 18 months to between the procurement or the order and the delivery. But we didn't arrive at this situation overnight in the last 18 months. So if you will permit me, I will give you a little background so that you will understand, because my approach to doing things will be different from how other people will view it.
No, feel free to go, because I think that context is important.
If you don't understand where the system is broken, then you will not be in a position to fix it. Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service would have, the government in fact, would have moved way back in 2014 to construct several stations in for Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service for the people of Trinidad and Tobago. Miaro, Pina, Chagaramas, Woodbrook, Lady Hills, Avenue, and Aruka were the stations identified to come on stream. And the project was initiated and execution commenced. However, in our correspondence, and I can tell you, dated February 15, 2017, the provider, and I'm not going to call names or point fingers, but I want you to understand where it was broken, because this is where some of the problems start occurring. And in the fire service, things like that create what you will call a domino effect in how we are able to respond. During the project, the execution would have required, when the stations are being constructed, the acquisition of appliances for those stations, like, for instance, Miaro and Pinal, which would have been completed in and opened, some Miaro in 2015, and Pinal would have been opened in 2019. When the tendering process was executed, it wasn't done in the normal conventional manner in which fire service and the government would have acquired vehicles. And that process showed flaws, right? The evaluation committee, when they met, which included myself and the then chief fire officer and a representative from Ministry of Works, would have recommended a different course of action, because the fire service, who was supposed to be the experts, weren't allowed to consider the technical components of the equipment that was being purchased for the fire service. That would have caused the whole process to be scrapped.
Okay, just now, wait. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I understand exactly what it is you're telling me. You're talking about the tendering process that would have started in which year?
This would have been 2015-16. Okay. But I'm coming to what you need to, so that you will understand what would have happened.
Okay, go ahead.
Right? Because that process was scrapped, and the appliances for the station not procured then, it means then that when the stations were open, the fire service was now forced to place appliances which we would have normally have as backup to facilitate maintenance, planned maintenance, program maintenance, and repairs into these stations to ensure that we have a presence to supply the needs of the community. That being done, it means then there's no backup to support any of our programs. You would have seen how the bushfire seasons would have been from 2016 coming forward, and you're realizing that the season is being intensified as the years go by. So it means maintenance and repairs cannot be done in the timely manner that is required. And the appliances do what you will call most of its work, not when it's driving to go on to and from the scenes, you know, but when it's at its operational position in terms of pumping. This is where the appliances are required to supply the water for firefighting. It does its damage, it takes its toll on the appliances. And the end result would be that because we can't do what we're supposed to do, and not having the support and the fund, the funding over the years has been a bit difficult, the domino effect would have been created. You follow me?
Yeah, I am. I'm following the timeline and discussion. And if I'm to summarize, basically what you're saying is that in 2014, 2015, these new stations were built, and they, if I'm to understand you correctly, building the new station placed a strain on limited resources that were available already, because you needed to.
That's right.
Okay, and then the second part of what you're saying is that the tendering process that started to acquire these new tenders was fraught with problems for one reason or another, and that process fell apart. We're talking about nearly 8 years ago, and since then we've
That would have been in 2017.
So 5 years, five, 6 years ago. And since then, we've not been able to get it right. And as a result of those delays, we find ourselves in the problems today where the fire tenders that we do have are overworked, and we do have the ability to repair them and maintain them the way we should. And that is how we find ourselves in problems. But, okay, let's get some more information. That's very interesting what you're suggesting, because you're suggesting that building the new stations placed additional strain on very limited resources. And we know that we've been having this discussion for a long period of time. How many fire stations do we have in the country?
Currently, there are 25 fire stations existing in the country. It's supposed to be 26. One would have been absorbed. That is the fire station in San Fernando, which would have been on Harris Promenade, because the building would have been unfit for use. And as such, the personnel would have been relocated back into headquarters in Monrepo.
Okay. And of the 25 fire stations that we have, how many working fire tenders do we have?
Currently, our fleet is operating at between 50 and 55%, because we too have been impacted by COVID. And I will explain that to you so that you will have a better picture. Fire service will normally stock a certain number of spares to enable the maintenance and repairs of the appliances. Because of the pandemic and the period of time it would have taken, those spares would have been utilized to keep the appliances running. Manufacturers in the pandemic would have had to shut down their operations, and they would have been operating, supplying, based on the spares that they would have had in stock. That created a further problem, because once you now have to order spares, the lead time would have been increased. The shipping would have been problematic. So it placed a different set of impact on the organization in being able to do repairs and maintenance in a timely manner. We have ordered spares, and spares that we have ordered since during the pandemic, some of those things only came late last year and early this year for us to be able to put a number of appliances back in service. And we are still awaiting our spares to come into the country to complete other repairs.
When I asked the question about how many fire tenders we have, you gave me a percentage. And you said about 50-55%. I would like a number. And there's a reason why I'm asking for a number. How many fire tenders do we need in the country to be considered having a full complement?
Okay. The fire service, the scientific approach to doing that would identify that 80% of your fleet is supposed to be able to cover all your stations. 10% of your fleet supposed to be your reserve appliances that will augment in the event of maintenance. You have major incidents, a vehicle goes out of service for one reason or the other, you could put one into service and conduct your repairs accordingly. And you have also for training and development of officers. And we have not been able to maintain that since 1997, 1998, because of the demands and the tightening of resources in terms of being able to acquire and maintain that level of resources in the fire service. Right? So as it is, roughly each station is required to have in its station ground a water tender, ideally a tanker, an ambulance, and a utility. But given the way in which resources come into the service, and the other issue that also impacts the resources is the accidents. Because operating a fire service, and this is worldwide, part of the problem is inherent with the job is the risk for accidents while responding. And we have had our fair share of those, especially with the most recent fleet of appliances that we would have acquired back in 2017. And it's only recently, as last week, because most of those accidents would have occurred in 2019. We got the funding, but the back and forth with the parts and so on. Mm. Those appliances are now coming back up. Last week, we received one of the major appliances that is for the Shogunas division. And that appliance would have been damaged. And I would have mentioned this yesterday in another interview, when officers were conducting an extrication of an accident on the highway, and a young man dropped asleep, injuring two officers and damaging three appliances severely.
Okay. So,
right. So these things happen.
Okay, Mr. Bristol, from what the information you're telling me, I have to infer, you're saying that each station needs to have four different types of vehicles, ideally, which is one of the
one is the fire truck,
one is the one, for want of a different term, one that carries water, another one that is a medical or ambulance related, and then another one. So you basically outlined four. So from what you're saying to me, with 25 stations, we need to have 25 of each of these vehicles in each station for it to be considered fully resourced. And you're saying that we're down to about 50%. So basically, we have 12 or 13 of these things to be shared amongst the 25 stations. We were told by our Minister of National Security that a fire tender is coming at the end of the month. Do you have information on that?
Okay. What we would have done in terms of when we started dealing with the risk assessment, we would have identified Port of Spain as being a critical area, as well as the aerodrome, because you are aware that you should be aware of the amount of persons using in and out of the both Piaco and Crown Point International Airports. We would have acquired two appliances for the airport, because that would have been procured recently in the last fiscal sometime 2021. And those appliances, two of them were delivered already. The third one is supposed to be shipped, and it would arrive here in approximately 3 weeks, thereabouts. That is to assist because of the challenges that we have been facing, especially in Port of Spain with water supply. So that is going to improve our ability to treat with incidents in the capital city.
Okay.
Right? Much quicker than it would take in terms of asking WASA to boost the system and the pumps, as well as the fact that our saltwater system has been inoperable for quite a number of years.
Yeah. Okay. There are a couple of questions that I really want to get in, because I have you just until 8. Would you be able to stay until after 8?
I have to attend. And I could also tell you that approval was conveyed to Central Tenders Board, and I mentioned the appliances that the stations, but we have a water tender for Point 14, we have a water tender for Miaro, breathing apparatus, trailer, hose layer, ambulance, double cab pickup. These things are for Point 14 and Miaro, and we are also going out for tender for Woodbrook Fire Station, because Woodbrook Fire Station, within Woodbrook Fire Ground, there are key risk that needs to be addressed in terms of providing coverage for the fire ground.
Okay. Mr. Bristow, there's a specific question that I want to ask. If you're saying that we have 50% of the resources that we need, which is about 12, 13 of these vehicles per station, we have 25, how many are we tendering for in total?
Well, in total, right now, we would have gone out for seven appliances. And again, once we complete, we have things in place based on funding at the mid-year review to see how best we could increase the amount of appliances we want. That discussion is currently ongoing between the ministry officials, the minister, and myself.
Even if you get the seven appliances that you're expecting to because of funding, that still leaves you short of what is required to be considered full complement. In a situation like that, how does the fire services intend to treat with the shortfall? What is the contingency plan? How is it expected to work? Because the reason why I'm asking, when we had the issue in Siparia, we were told that the fire tender that was supposed to be there had issues and that had to be repaired. And because it was being repaired, we didn't have a replacement. If you're still short, even after tendering with these seven, can we expect the same thing to happen again?
Or so let me explain something to you.
Explain
fire
it to
service
me.
Have contingencies in place, and that is what would have been applied. That system would have been applied in dealing with the Siparia incident, and I will explain. If for some reason an appliance is a mechanical device, it can develop problems, especially when you're not expecting it to happen. And I can tell you that from my background in terms of dealing with vehicles and so on. If for some reason our standard operating guidance will normally have in its place what we call coverage plans and contingencies. So if for some reason, because it doesn't necessarily have to be that the appliance is down, the appliance could be on another incident and something happens within the fire ground. Our procedures require the next available or the nearest station within the fire ground to respond. And that is what would have happened when the fire occurred in Siparia. Penal being the appliance next on the closer site to where the risk was or where the situation occurred would have been dispatched. And other supporting appliances could have been required by the operational officer on scene. And that is written in our operating guidelines.
I understand what you're saying.
You understand?
No, I understand. Right. I do. But the sad reality is the response time is cause for concern. Because what is the expected response time to call? Somebody calls whoever. What is standard, or is there a standard time, or how does it work?
Okay, let me explain. Let me tell you. The international requirement for response time, a fire appliance must be able to reach its furthest point in its fire ground within 8 minutes of the call. That being said, as far back as 2014, that would have been under Mr. Rampersad, he would have suggested and other officers the development of additional stations. And when I'm saying additional stations, smaller stations to treat with the growing communities that fall outside the current large stations that provide coverage. The pilot project would have been Toko Fire Station, which is up and running, but still, after all this period of time, incomplete, because we are trying to get that building secured. And that would have modeled what you call like a satellite station, or in other jurisdictions, it is called a substation. And that will now minimize the response time in these outlying communities. So like anything happen within the fire ground then, the appliance would respond and support could be added from the other stations in close proximity. That is still, we're still trying to get that on stream in full, because once TOCO is completed, it's a matter of replicating it throughout the other communities.
Mm. Okay, Mr. Bristow, we know that from what you've said to us that a fire tender is expected at the end of the month, mm-hmm. because of the discussions that mm-hmm. were ongoing and all of that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. the others, we can't expect them here anytime before a year and a half, which means mm-hmm. that you are still going to be sharing resources amongst the fire stations mm-hmm. that exist, which means that your response time of 8 minutes is going to be compromised. What? Because we're almost out of time for the interview. And mm-hmm. I think we need to have another discussion so that you can clarify some of these other things that the public may have mm-hmm. misconceptions on, and I hope that we have that pretty soon. But mm-hmm. how does the fire service, and you spoke about the next fire station and all these kinds of things, but what reassurance mm-hmm. can you give the citizenry that with mm-hmm. the lack of resources that you have and that you're going to have for the foreseeable year and a half, what assurances mm-hmm. can you give the nation that should a situation like Queenham exist or come up, unfortunately, again, that the response is going to be better?
So, Queenham is not the only issue that would have highlighted the lack of resources of the fire service.
Mm.
My first interview with the press wasn't a pleasant one as the chief fire officer of Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service, because that interview mm-hmm. would have been concerning the loss of the lives of the children in Marava.
Right, I remember that.
And the ministry, together with the senior officers, myself and the minister, would have started working towards narrowing that. There's only so much you could do based on the resources you have.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the financial resources, where everybody's competing, all the different ministries, for a piece of that resource available to the country. And it's only those organizations who compete better and produce what they need in a timely manner could get what they need. And we have been working towards achieving that, right? So this is why I can tell you Woodbrook is on order. Those appliances that we have out of service, we have started getting some of the parts in so that we could put the appliances back in the station, especially the water tenders and tankers, to be able to provide that response. But rest assured,
mm-hmm.
Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service will always provide a response to the public to ensure that we give them the level of service they require.
Well, Mr. Bristow, this is where we're going to have to leave it. News is upon us, but yeah, it's been a pretty interesting interview. And as I said, I believe that we need to have another discussion so that we can delve deep into some of the other things so that the public can understand the challenges confronting the fire services, and we as citizens can have a better appreciation for what happens and when things don't happen and all of these things. Thank you so much for speaking with us here this morning, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
No problem. Have a good one.
You as well. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that's where we're going to have to leave our interview here this morning with Chief Fire Officer Arnold Bristow.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.